Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey off today. Hopefully going to be back with me Monday morning. Let's go out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline and welcome in my pal from the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo. Does such a great job covering the Steelers. Ray, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing okay, I guess. Looking forward to this game. Not very often you get 5-0 versus 5-0. I'm just curious your take on the Devin Bush injury and how you see the Steelers coping with it.
Yeah, Ron, listen, looks like for now they're going to live and die with Robert Spillane. I thought he came in and played really, really well against the Browns. That play against Austin Hooper where he read that screen pass was really, really proof that, I think he can play in this league. Is he going to be able to play on every single down, including all the sub packages? I don't know. But for this week, against a run-heavy team against Tennessee, I think he's going to play the majority of the snaps, and I think he's going to play pretty well.
Ray, he's going to get the start, obviously, and I guess we just got a little bit of breaking news here. The Steelers have released Dustin Colquitt. They've added, Corliss Waitman will punt against the Titans. Who is Corliss Waitman? He's on the practice squad, I believe.
He's been on the practice squad all season, Ron. So
they've released Colquitt. You kind of knew that might be coming, Ray, when Tomlin flat out said it's not up to snuff our punting game. Wow. I guess there was some talk that Barry was back in town for a workout last week. I think that report came out of Houston. I thought maybe they might try to bring him back, but you knew they were down on Colquitt. Just wasn't very good enough, right?
No, I mean, listen, Tomlin was asked about him, I think, twice in the past 3 weeks. And each time you kind of got the feeling that Dustin Colquitt was on shaky ground. And I thought he really, really made that point known on Tuesday, with his words. And a little bit surprising that they made this move this late in the week. But the nice thing about having Corliss Williamson on the practice squad is he doesn't have to go through COVID testing like you would if you brought in an outside guy who hasn't been with the team. So that's why they can make this move now. A little bit surprised, again, they do it on a Friday. The whole place-kicking operation thing, and, I'm sure they'll get that straightened out today and tomorrow. But, obviously Mike Tomlin was not happy with the kicking situation.
Couple other moves. Obviously, the Steelers put Devin Bush on IR. They promoted defensive lineman Henry Mondeau. Is that how you pronounce it, Ray? Mondeau? To the active roster, and then they signed linebacker Ray Wilborn to the practice squad. Minor moves, I guess, but the big news is Colquitt is out as punter, and the Colquitt family tradition ends hard here with the Steelers and his dad, Craig. I told the story that somehow I was covering the Steelers when Craig Colquitt was punting, and we had a big argument. He didn't like something I wrote. I'll never forget, I ticked off the punter, Ray, if you can believe that, among other people. But I remember him yelling at me, when back in the day when he was here.
Leave it to you to tick off a punter, Ron, I guess. Listen, his dad lasted about six seasons with the Steelers. His son lasted about six games. So obviously not quite the same experience.
No, not quite the same. All right, Ray, let's talk about this game a little bit. And, you know, we talked about Spillane's going to get the first crack. I personally think the Steelers' defense still matches up well, even though they're going to have to stop Derrick Henry and Tannehill. And they can't sleep on Tannehill, can they? Although I still think the Titans are going to come in here. You know, they're going to try to run it down their throat, and the Steelers are going to have to stop it. How do you see them matching up in that matchup?
Yeah, Ron, I am writing about Tannehill today. I mean, all the headlines early in the week, Steelers have to stop Henry, and they're right. I mean, everyone who wrote that is right, but the Steelers have not faced a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill yet this season. And this guy is not going to crumble the way Baker Mayfield did last Sunday at Heinz Field. He has a 13-2 touchdown to interception ratio. He is second in the league in quarterback rating. The Titans are second in the league in total yards, second in the league in scoring. So he's obviously doing something right. So even if you do shut down Henry, doesn't mean you're going to have success. I mean, I pointed out in my story, Buffalo held him to 57 yards. You know what the score of that game was? 42-16 Titans. So he had four touchdowns and no interceptions in that game. This guy can beat you even when Derrick Henry isn't on his game.
Now, how much we're all fretting here, and rightfully so, about Devin Bush's injury. Taylor Lewan, their Pro Bowl left tackle, blind side protection for Tannehill. I have to assume, I had Blaine Bishop on the air yesterday, former Pro Bowler in Tennessee, is now part of their radio team. He said it's a huge loss. They're going to have to help him against the backup against Bud Dupree, tight end maybe, a running back, which leaves T.J. Watt on the other side. That's one of the great things about this Steelers defense, Ray, isn't it? You can't take away both Watt and Dupree.
Yeah, and the tackle that they brought in last week after Lewan got hurt gave up a strip sack on his very first snap, I think. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to help out with Bud Dupree, you would think, no matter who is playing the left tackle position for them. There's some speculation they could sort of juggle their lineup a little bit. Their first-round pick, Isaiah Wilson, hasn't played yet. He hasn't practiced this week yet either due to an illness. So that might ruin some of their plans. But, yeah, I mean, even if you do double Bud Dupree or you chip with him, you know, you're leaving T.J. Watt, Stephon Tuitt, and Cam Hayward with only one guy to beat on most occasions. So the Steelers will try to take advantage of that. They already lead the league in sacks. And if the Titans don't come up with answers to replace Lewan, they're going to be giving up a few more on Sunday afternoon.
Boy, you mentioned Hayward and Tuitt, Ray, and I wrote about Vince Williams for Sunday's Post-Gazette. I just think he's having a great year. But what Tuitt and Hayward are doing, they're just collapsing pockets up, you know, inside and shutting down the run game. You know, we talk about the pair of outside rushers in Watt and Dupree. How about the two defensive ends in Tuitt and Hayward?
I mean, they're both playing really, really well. I don't know if I've ever seen Hayward play this well, Ron. I mean, he's been an all-pro twice in his career, so that ought to tell you something. The sack numbers aren't there, but he is just moving people into the backfield, disrupting, you know, protections that are called, really forcing quarterbacks to step up, and then when they step up, Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt, you know, there to clean it up. So both of those guys are playing tremendously. You know, the thing to watch there, too, it's kind of been injury prone over the years. He's been healthy so far. If they can make it all the way through the season with both of those guys healthy, they're going to be a tough front line to deal with in the playoffs.
How do you think Vince is playing? I've just been very impressed by him, Ray. And, you know, I think he's grown into a leader and he's gotten better. They picked their spots with him in pass coverage, but I noticed he's played 80% of the snaps in like three games. They're not taking him off the field in passing situations. What they're doing, and Tomlin spoke about this, is letting him rush a little bit, and he loves going after the quarterback.
Yeah, he's played 75% of the snaps, on which, you know, last year I think it was around 35, 40% maybe. So, yeah, I mean, they're not afraid to play him. You know, I think, was it the Broncos game where he kind of got into trouble in coverage? I think Melvin Gordon beat him on a touchdown. That's going to happen. Anytime you have a run-stopping linebacker like Vince in coverage situation, there are going to be times when quarterbacks take advantage of that. But to your point, they like to rush him. They can use him in certain situations. my only concern going forward with this inside linebacking duo is they're both kind of the same player speed-wise. You know, they're both in that 4.7, 4.8 range. Both are very smart, you know, so they'll be able to make up for that a little bit by reading plays, but you just worry about when teams go small. And, you know, you're not going to see it this weekend too much probably unless Tennessee has something up their sleeve. But eventually you're going to see smaller receivers, slot receivers line up when the Steelers have those two linebackers on the field. And we're going to see what the Steelers' adjustments are when that happens. You know, they don't seem too concerned about it now, but I do think eventually they're going to have to come up with some answers.
We're talking to Ray Fittipaldo, does a fabulous job covering the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Ray, let's look at the other side of the ball. I had told you I had Blaine Bishop on yesterday, and I said, where are the Titans vulnerable defensively? And he starts laughing. He goes, everywhere. He said, basically, they're not a very good defense. They're giving up a lot of points. I'm thinking Connor should be able to run the ball. I'm thinking Ben, if he, you know, protects the ball like he has done so far, the Steelers are going to be able to score a few points.
Yeah, I think, what are they, the 27th-ranked pass defense in the league? You know, Bishop is right. They have struggled in certain situations. So when you look at this matchup, I think they're pretty similar offensively. I think the Steelers probably have the better defense. I think we can acknowledge that. If the Steelers' offense can exploit, you know, the weaknesses on defense, and it doesn't mean, you know, going up and down the field and having more yards than them. It means scoring touchdowns. So if they can get on top of them early, you know, score more touchdowns than you kick field goals in this game, I think the Steelers are going to have a chance to win. It's going to be a tough game, Ron. It's at Tennessee. They're allowing fans into the game. You know, this is by far the toughest matchup. But if they do those things, I do think they have a pretty good chance of coming out of there with a victory.
So who's going to be the star this week, Ray? You know, 2 weeks ago against Philly, it was Claypool, and Tomlin downplayed that totally, saying, hey, it was just the matchups. It was his day. We have so many guys to worry about. Last week, Claypool was good again. I thought James Washington had the long touchdown. He was very good. You're going to get Deontay Johnson back this week. And Juju, I got to figure one of these days is going to put it together a little more. 2 catches for 6 yards last week. Ben has a lot of choices, right? Do you have a feel who might be the star this week?
That's a good question. I do think Juju is going to benefit from Deontay coming back. You know, this last week, Juju was getting doubled a lot. That's why he only had 6 yards. And, of course, James Washington and Chase Claypool took advantage of that. So this week with Jonathan back, I think it's going to be even harder for the Titans, you know, to match up there. I think they're going to try to take Claypool away. I don't think they want that guy beating them. So I think either, you know, Deontay Johnson or Juju, I think either of those guys have a chance of having a big game on Sunday.
Ray, it looks good news on the practice squad field yesterday. Pouncey practiced in full. So did DeCastro, which I think is good news. So talk about the offensive line getting DeCastro back. But the defense, Hilton, did not practice yesterday, and it's going to be interesting to see if he practices today with that shoulder. I think he's a pretty big loss to the defense as well if he doesn't play.
Yeah, I'm out there. I'm headed out there after I get done talking to you, Ron. We'll see what Hilton's status is. But, yeah, anytime you can welcome back a former All-Pro like Dave DeCastro, it's going to be good news. You know, if Hilton can't go, I mean, Mike Tomlin pointed this out. I don't know if this was a game where he was going to play a ton anyway. You know, this is a game where they're probably going to keep Tyson Alualu in there quite a bit. So it's going to hurt them, certainly, when they get to Titans in second and third and long. Cam Sutton is going to have to fill in if Mike Hilton cannot play. But if there's ever a week where he's going to miss, this would be the week, because the Titans, you know, they force you to play base defense a lot. And this is actually one week where, I could see Alualu playing, you know, maybe 50 to 55% of the snaps.
All right, Ray, before I ask your prediction, a thought quickly on Le'Veon Bell in Kansas City and perhaps Antonio Brown to Seattle. What do you expect from Le'Veon? I still no word whether he's going to be active this week. Andy Reid said he's going to think about it. Depends on practice. What do you expect from Le'Veon Bell in Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when he's going to play. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, you know, their featured runner. Unless he gets injured, maybe it's going to be a good signing. You know, if Edwards-Helaire gets injured at some point, then you could plug him in and, you know, hopefully you wouldn't lose too much. But I don't I don't like disrupting that, you know, that rhythm that Kansas City had by bringing Bell in. And the same would go for Seattle if they ever make that move. You're 5-0. Why would you want to bring a guy like Antonio Brown onto your team? I mean, maybe you can make the argument they're looking forward to a matchup with the Chiefs or the Ravens in the Super Bowl where you think you might have to have a better offense. But I don't know, Ron. Maybe you and I know Antonio Brown better than Pete Carroll. I would not make that move.
Well, I wouldn't either, but I'll tell you one reason they might. Russell Wilson is really pushing for Antonio. They worked out together in Florida this offseason. He was quoted yesterday as saying that Antonio deserves another chance. His quote is, quote, he's really been remorseful. He's been humbled along the way. Hopefully he gets to play football again. Nobody's perfect. The one thing I'll say that's different about Antonio right now that I can't ever remember is when's the last time you've seen him on social media, Ray? I don't know. It must be killing him to stay off of it. Somebody has got to have gotten to him and said, hey, Antonio, you're sabotaging your career every time you open your mouth on Twitter.
Maybe he's finally getting some good advice. Or maybe he's finally following it, maybe to put it a better way.
Yeah, I'm sure he's had some advice all along and probably hasn't. All right, Ray, who wins? What's the score on Sunday? Who do you like?
Ron, I pick the Steelers every week this season. I'm going to go against that this week. I just think playing on the road, which they haven't done since the opener, playing against a really, really good team. I think they go down there and play well, but I think they lose 33-23.
Wow. Interesting. I like them this week, Ray. I was on our sister station in Baltimore this morning, and I said, I think the Steelers are going to win this. And I said, I'm already picking Baltimore to win next week. We'll be talking to you about that. The Steelers would love to be 6-0 going into that game. That's for sure. Baltimore has the weekend off. I'm sure they're hoping for overtime for the Steelers and get the hell beat out of them down there, right? You know, that's what you do. Yeah, you're playing the Steelers fresh next week. They're going to be banged up, and you hope they get banged up even more, right, if you're Baltimore.
One of the quirks of the Titans having a COVID outbreak, right? I mean, it's they're unfortunately playing this game this week, and then Baltimore gets the advantage of having their bye week. So it's not fair, but I think we all knew in 2020 this wasn't going to be fair at all.
Life ain't fair, my friend. Life ain't fair. All right, Ray, have a great weekend. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, okay?
Okay. See you, Ron.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.